Brian Ritter has served as the Albany Symphony's first CEO since September of 2009.
During his time with the orchestra, the organization has focused on the integration of artistic and financial planning to ensure exciting, compelling, and inspiring concerts and programs, aggressively growing the orchestra's audience and donor base, and the improving of all business functions of the institution.
He joins us now to discuss the evolution of the American Music Festival, its future ambitions, and how it fits in with the organization and the community. Brian, it's wonderful. Brian Ritter, it's wonderful to have you back on the program. Thank you very much for being with us, and thank you very much for inviting us this morning. It's a delight to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure, and thank you, your entire team, for putting on this program today.
Well, and right back to you with your team, and you know, we all got along very nicely, so that worked. Much of what we talked about in the introduction has to do with that delicate balance of art and cash.
Yes.
So what do you think you're better at in the sense of, you know, when you come in and you say, okay, this is what we have to do. What's at the centerpiece of that?
Well, I think it's a constant driven focus to combine the two, because they're not separate things, and
right.
I think one drives the other, and that's one thing that we've been focusing really hard at over the last several years, in a great partnership with an incredibly dedicated board of directors and our great staff, and David Allen Miller is trying to figure that out. You know, the great business writer and thinker Jim Collins challenges us to know what we're passionate about, to know what the best we can be at in the world, and to know what drives our economic engine, and where all those things come together, that's where we focus, and that's what we've been up to. So the music is very, very much a part of what it is. And I think the clearer that we can be about that, and the clearer that we can be in what we're passionate about, that just drives the resources to make it all happen.
So the new music is often, you know, unfamiliar to people. It's difficult for them. The ASO has been known for this all along. Joe's great question about cash. You know, if you play Mozart or if you play Beethoven, you're going to get them.
Yeah.
And yet, that's not what the commitment of the orchestra is entirely. It's somewhat.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. You would think that was the case, that new music would keep audiences away. But in fact, over the last 2 years, our audiences have been growing dramatically. Our single ticket buyers, our single ticket sales for concerts in our core series, which has a lot of new music, and this is a culmination of that, but has a good focus on new music, is up over 70%. Our subscriptions are up over 65% over the last several years. More and more people are engaging and participating in the orchestra, and they're experiencing this great combination of the new and the old.
So do you know demographically who they are?
Well, certainly from the capital region, I would suspect a little bit younger, but... Yeah. But that's something that we're still trying to figure out just exactly what that breakdown is. But these are people in our region that are interested and excited and passionate about music, and they're coming more and more to the symphony.
David and I have discussed this at length, and I'll pose the question to you because I find it fascinating. But a lot of this, when you talk about people coming to, and this comes off of Alan's question, the great point that bringing new people in and bringing people in to hear new music, a lot of this comes with the trust of an orchestra, right? That they now trust you as, I mean, you've been around forever, but trust you as an entity that whatever you play, they will enjoy in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
And why subscriptions are so great.
Yeah, because people subscribe and it's not for a particular piece or artist, it's because they want to have that entire experience, and there's a trust in that. Particularly this weekend, I think of all the events that we've been talking about all morning. You know, this is music that's really not available out there. You're going to hear it for the very, very first time. So there's a trust that an audience member brings to that, to just sort of be willing to experience the unexpected, because you can't study it, you can't learn it, you can't experience it ahead of time. You're going to experience it for the first time coming here. And so that's a very special thing. And I think the more we can talk about that, the more we can share that, the more we can get people excited about that type of experience, the more we're going to we're going to grow that trust and have people coming and investing in the organization.
And yet, there's got to be a lot of husbands and wives, for example, or partners who come to this. One likes it, one doesn't.
Yeah.
And you got to keep them both.
Sure.
There's a question in there somewhere.
Well, yeah, well, you certainly do. But, you know, I think if couples are going home and arguing about the experience that they had, and one liked something, one didn't, and that creates a conversation, a dialogue, a debate, what a great thing.
As long as Marvin doesn't say to Tessie, you know, I'm never doing that again.
As long as somebody's not sleeping on the couch, I think.
Marvin and Tessie. Before the orchestra had a CEO, you know, why was that necessary in the sense of coming in?
Well, I suspect that
I assume growth.
That yes, what the organization really wanted, what the board of directors really wanted was somebody to partner with David Allen Miller, the music director, to really focus the organization on what we're passionate about, what our vision is, and being able to bring it all together. And one of the best ways to describe it is what we've been doing is you know, this almost sounds obvious maybe to a lot of listeners, is that I'd like to describe it as holistic planning, that a lot of orchestras will do things in silos. You know, you'll do your artistic planning over here, and then your marketing over here, your fundraising over here. And what we've been up to at the Albany Symphony is bringing that all together.
Right.
That when we have a conversation about a particular piece or a composer we want to work at the same time we're talking about ticket sales and subscriptions and fundraising and finances of all of that. It's a really healthy place to be. And so that's, I think, what my biggest role has been and one of the things that I enjoy so much about this job.
So do you ever argue, you and David?
I wouldn't say argue, but I think we have really great discussion and really great debate. And I think the more we work together, the more that trust builds and grows. And that is only good for the organization. So I think it's always healthy arguments that we have about all sorts of things. I think the other point I'll make in that is that one of the great things about our relationship is that I think we sometimes trade hats. That I know a lot
you
about.
You conduct the orchestra.
Well, I don't necessarily conduct the orchestra, but
he wears a lot of funny hats. I've seen the billboards.
But I know a lot. I know a lot about the repertoire, and I'm passionate about the music. And David understands a lot about the business and the side of that. And so we find ourselves sort of trading situations where he'll say, "Well, we can't possibly afford that," and I'll say, "Well, we'll have to find the money to do it," and vice versa. And it's a great place to be, and it's a lot of fun to do.
I have one last question. As a CEO myself, I wonder how the CEO and the board interact. I know that back in the history of the ASO, there was always some problems about new music versus old and, you know, the rest of it. Do you find that they try to get into programming?
Well, we have a very engaged board of directors, and I think as far as CEO and the board is concerned, that partnership is essential and critical, and is always evolving, and in our case, evolving in a very positive way. I think our board needs to be involved in that, needs to be involved in the discussion. Indeed, we have a programming committee that is a sounding board for all of the programs that we're doing. But I think our board is seeing, as we're striving together to be much, much more clear about our vision and what we're passionate about and what we're really good at, is this incredible buy-in and engagement in it and a passion throughout the organization. I think Carnegie Hall, our debut at Carnegie Hall last May, was a great validation of this work, because I think our institution, our community began to see, here's the Albany Symphony doing something very, very special, very unique in the orchestra world. What a great impact it's having on our community. Mm. So, I think that relationship is essential, that it be very strong and very...
You've never had anybody say, play this or I don't give you another dime?
No, we haven't. And I suppose you always hear stories about that, and it's not to say that we would never encounter that, but I hope we would handle that in the appropriate way and have the appropriate conversations, I don't know, to make it all work.
Well, that gets into it. the trust issue again of where they trust you and you trust the board, I would assume.
Absolutely.
When you look at the your role as a CEO, what kind of background do you have to have to get a gig like that?
Well, at an orchestra, I think it's always first and foremost, in my opinion, you have to come with a real interest and passion for music because that's what you're living with all the time.
But your background is in what?
I'm actually a history guy. That's what I studied in college, history and political science. But I've always been sort of a music nut. And so in addition to studying all of that, I was always studying and very active as a musician and had a great opportunities in high school and college to do a little bit of conducting.
What's your instrument? So,
I was a saxophone player.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because Mark Volpe was a clarinet player
at
the Boston Symphony.
Yes. And I think he went to law school then.
He did indeed.
So he's a really great guy. And I didn't have any real formal business training per se, but I just was very, very lucky early on, right after college, getting into this industry and having some incredible mentors that were on our board of directors and great learning experiences. So you learn on the job and figure it all out. But when you can have mentors on the board that can be patient, that encourage you to take risks, that allow you to make mistakes and support all of that, what a great opportunity. And so that's kind of been my evolution so far, has been sort of learning on the job.
Well, have you ever made a mistake?
Plenty.
Name Many. One. Name one.
Oh, gosh.
Steve, you want to chime in? No, okay. Steve LaBelle, board. No, doesn't want to chime in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if I can name one off the top of my head. And the reason not is because I think we make mistakes, we try to learn from them, and then we move on and try to
forget them.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to forget them because then you don't want to do it again.
Well
you get
but I think the learning from
a lot of people
it,
to remind you.
The autopsy of the mistake is, I think, all the learning, and you don't forget the learning. So, yeah.
When you look at this festival, as I mentioned in the introduction, we wanted to talk a little bit about what you want to do with this. I mean, we're at a wonderful place here. You have four incredible days of performances that go on. It's very structured. It's very full. How do you see that growing?
We see it growing in a variety of ways. I think ultimately what we want the American Music Festival to be is an incredibly positive impact on our community, make it richer, fuller, more inspired, and engaging our community in all these performances. But what we're really striving for in the future is as David said, you know, the Albany Symphony really striving to be a resource. We want people to come and experience and to grow and get younger people involved through the education outreach that we do and awaken their interest and their excitement in music and have a richer, fuller life as a result of that. But as we expand the festival and word spreads about it, what we really want it to be is a destination. We want the people that are really passionate about new music coming from Boston and from Montreal and from New York City and converging here in the capital region. And so in addition to our own community being richer and fuller, we want people to come here. We want tourism to grow. We want the restaurants full and the hotels full and people spending time here in our region taking in all of the culture that our area has to offer. So,
is there any evidence that that's happening?
There is. As we talked about throughout the morning, this is our third year here at the festival, and each year we see more and more people coming. And what we're already doing is looking out to next year and the year after and planning those steps along the way to be much, much more aggressive with PR and marketing to attract those audiences from near and far. So, we're starting to see that evidence. The other thing that we've been hard at work at is getting the tools in place that help us actually measure that, to help us actually know who is indeed coming, who is in our audience, who is participating with us, where are they coming from?
Spies.
How can we get them back?
So how do you do that?
Spies.
two examples I'll quickly share. We have a new mini site for the for the festival, which everybody can visit by visiting the Albany Symphony website, which we've been giving out all morning. And it is a great way to engage, to find out about all the events, all the composers, all the artists. And there is mechanisms in there that help us understand who is visiting and what they're interested in, and we can measure things that way. We also have brought on board at the Albany Symphony a new customer relationship management system, which allows us to have all of our ticketing and donor data joined together and integrated so that we can engage with people. We can invite people back and understand who they are and where they're coming from.
So you know whether it's Hartford or New York City or where people are coming from.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So
when you wake up in the morning and turn on WAMC and hear that a particular orchestra has gone by the wayside, sure, or is in financial trouble, I mean, what courses through your veins at that point? I assume that has to shake everybody up.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. And I mean, our friends to the west in Syracuse, I didn't sleep for days after that. A very, very difficult situation. It's something that we all are impacted by. We all are shaken by. But I think in each of those instances, as terrible as they are, there are things that we can learn.
What did you learn from that, from Syracuse?
Well, I think what we saw is an organization that didn't necessarily have the relevance that it needed in the community, because ultimately people weren't coming to concerts. And that, to me, is what we need to be as an organization. We need to be vitally connected to our community. We need people engaged across our community and really seeing the value and the interest in the orchestra. And so everything that we do, everything that we think about, everything that we program, that has to be considered. And so that was the biggest learning, I think, from that very tragic situation.
And obviously that, and you know, we talk about this all the time, certainly Alan Alan is always on us about this, but you know, it's okay, great, we did this season and we got a lot of people in. Oh yeah, there's next season, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, we did this fun drive. Oh yeah, there's
the next one,
right? And to keep going and to keep doing that is a lot of work.
It sure is, but it's what it's all about. It's what we're in this business for, and it's the most exciting part. I mean, this is such a great part of the year because we're already starting to advertise and promote and to sell next season and all the wonderful programs, and we put all those together about 6 months ago, and so we're kind of straddling these 2 years and already beginning to think about the next year, and so that's what's so much fun and getting to figure out what's up next and what's going to get people interested and excited about who we are and what we're all about.
We have 30 seconds. Give a final plug for the American Music Festival at MPEC.
Please come out and check us out here at the Albany Symphony's American Music Festival, beginning tonight with the great group Victoire, and tomorrow night at 7:30, our Dogs of Desire ensemble, the Albany Symphony, and it's in entirety. You'll be on stage on Saturday night.
Website?
AlbanySymphony.com.
Brian Ritter is the CEO of the Albany Symphony Orchestra. Brian, I thank you so much for being here, for talking so eloquently about what you do, but most importantly, for inviting us and for letting us be a part of this incredible festival. We really thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Well,
your whole
Garang
has been great.
Thank you so much.
Well, we need to leave this place of experimental media and performance and turn it over to the capable hands of the Albany Symphony Orchestra and their guests for the American Music Festival. A reminder that you can find out about everything you need to know about the festival by going to albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival, albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival.
Sincere thanks to all the guests who joined us this morning, with special thanks to Maestro David Allen Miller and Jim Sector, the ASO's Communication Director. Thanks also to Adam Claremont, our hero, and Kristen Gilbert for knowing how to get us on the air and keep it that way. And a big tip of the hat to the man on the board back home, Dave Hopper.
Special thanks to Alan Chartok for being a part of the musical mayhem this morning. Thanks also to Sarah LeDuc for her role as producer. And of course, thanks to you for joining us this morning. The Roundtable will be back live from Studio A, not Studio 2, Studio A tomorrow. Until then, stay tuned for Midday Magazine with Brian Shields.